This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Handling Ben's vision for us is our buddy Matt Miller, because we are a week away from the draft in Green Bay, and we thought that we would pick his brain about what the Bears can, will, and have done. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
It's a good brain to pick, don't you think, Lawrence? And now it's got to be chock full of goodness, like rumors and concepts and all sorts of things. This is your time, Matt Miller.
Right now, my brain is full of, I need to sleep, I need a bourbon, and I can't wait to get to Green Bay. That's where I'm at right now. I don't know about anything good, guys. That's what you're getting out of me today.
I think that's a strong way to go about the final week leading up to the draft. I want to go back a few years with you for a second. I'd love to know what you thought about Kyler Gordon and how close he is now that he's got an extension to what you believed he would be coming out of Washington.
Yeah, I would have to pull up my exact notes on him, but I know I liked him. I thought I had a second round grade on him, so I was a big fan. Obviously, you know, he's a really, really good athlete. That was something that easily stood out to him. And then having play slot, I think, took away some of the weaknesses, some of the deficiencies that showed up with his size. So playing him now, I think, is really smart, because the number on corners is only going to continue to go up. Obviously, we've seen that over the past year. So, like, you guys have probably seen me post this. If not, you should be reading my tweets more closely. But I do think, like, there's the idea about team building is draft good players and then pay them early. They don't Dallas Cowboys this thing where you wait as long as humanly possible, or the Cincinnati Bengals, because the price only continues to go up the longer you wait to pay a guy. So I did pull it up. I had a late first, early second round grade on Kyler Gordon. So where he was drafted, I think pick 7 in the second round is exactly where I had him ranked. And he's absolutely lived up to that draft grade.
Look at Matt Miller's skills, pulling up the Kyler Gordon draft scouting file as he's talking with us. Yeah, and we'll have more on Kyler and what his role is going to be a little bit later on in the show. Our guy Mark Grody will be here talking about what the Bears assistant coaches had to say today. Is there a corner that's worthwhile of the Bears to consider at 9 or in the top 20, just in case they wanted to, for the spot opposite Jalen Johnson?
Guys, I had an article come out this morning, and in that article, I talked to 10 different NFL scouts, and I asked them to do a mock draft. So a guy from one team was the Titans, another team was the Browns, and the rule was they couldn't be a scout for their own team. I just did the top 10. When I got to the Bears at 10, Ashton Jeanty was off the board. The top tight ends are on the board. Top defensive tackles other than Mason Graham were on the board. And this scout took Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. So I do think that there is a – and that's a little rich just based on what I've heard. You know, Will didn't have a very good pre-draft process because of the turf toe that he missed half the season with and then the hamstring issue. But he's a really, really good player. And when he was on the field this year, he had two picks. He took both back for touchdowns. And when he played in 2023, he looked like one of the best corners in the country. So it's a little bit like Derek Stingley Jr. If you remember that pre-draft process, folks were just crushing this guy of, oh, he can't stay healthy. We don't know how fast he is. He was the number three pick in the draft, and now he's one of the best corners in the league. And he was picked ahead of Sauce Gardner, who at the time that was kind of controversial. So I think with Will, he might slip a little bit in the draft and maybe even a little bit later than 10. But he's going to be a really good player. And opposite Jalen and Kyler, it would be fun because I think his size allows him to play off. Like, that's where he's best, is playing almost in his zone, being able to read corners and being able to read receivers. And he's so good at jumping routes and making something happen, forcing those turnovers and flipping the field.
Matt, how far is the gap between Jeanty and your next running back versus what could be available for the Bears at, let's say, tackle, and the next tackle that would be available in that 10 spot?
So I have Jeanty at 3 overall. He's blue chip, super special. I have Omarion Hampton at 19 overall. So there's a pretty big divide between those guys. And it's really the difference between like an elite player and a good player. I think at tackle, my top tackle is Kelvin Banks. He's my number 8 overall guy. But then I have Membo at 10 and Will Campbell at, I think, 11. I'm going off memory here, so those might be off one or two spots. But I know Banks is number 8 and Membo is number 10. So I like those guys all similarly. The difference is Membo's only played right tackle. You know, 30-some starts in college, only played right tackle. Campbell, you're going to have the conversation about the shorter wingspan, the shorter arm length. The upright stance makes me worry about moving him to guard because he does play almost standing straight up at left tackle. So that would be a little bit of an issue of, okay, if he's going to play guard, we got to rework the stance. That could be an issue. And I remain a Kelvin Banks guy. I don't understand where the, you know, what's happened with Kelvin Banks, who gave up 3 sacks in 3 seasons at Texas. He was the week 1 left tackle his true freshman season. He's 6'5". He has 33.5-inch arms. So a lot of the negatives that come up with Will Campbell or Josh Simmons or Armand Membo, those don't exist for Kelvin Banks. And yet you read mock drafts and he's being picked in the 20s. I'm going to stand on the hill that he's a top 10 player in this class, and he's going to be a steal if he gets drafted. You know, if he gets drafted by Chicago at 10, I'll think it's a great pick. San Francisco at 11, it'll be a great pick. Someone's going to get a dynamic player if they draft him in the top 20.
You know, it's interesting. Let's dive into this mock draft exercise that you did just today with all those writers. So if Jeanty is gone by the time the Bears get to 10, and let's say, you know, one of the tackles is gone, and certainly Mason Graham is gone, and certainly Abdul Carter is gone. Like, who else needs to be gone for it to make sense for the Bears to trade down? Because we've heard a lot that this draft, you know, like below what? Below 7, below 8, something like that. That the players between like 8 and 40, there's a lot of right, there's a lot of
well, I disagree equality with that range.
Okay,
yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't trade down, guys. I wouldn't do it. I would not trade down from 10. I think the number one reason is, why would you trade down? Who's coming up? What are they coming up for? Who's trying to jump the San Francisco 49ers at 11? No one, right? And the Bears and Niners have a lot of the same needs. I wouldn't trade out. If Ashton Jeanty's there, take him. If he's not there, Kelvin Banks, take him. If for some reason he's not there, I would draft Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan, and be very, very happy about, now I've got my Sam Laporta. I can run 12 personnel with he and Cole Kmet because I can run 2 tight ends. And you could get a running back with one of those 2 picks in the second round. You can get a defensive end or a defensive tackle with one of those 2 picks in the second round. And I would be whistling happy walking home on Friday night. If you come out of here with Colston Loveland, a running back, and a defensive lineman, it's a pretty dang good draft. I would be very happy about that. And I would say the same. If you get Kelvin Banks at 10, okay, he and Braxton Jones are probably going to have a little bit of a battle. Or maybe you even have the conversation now of, could we trade Braxton Jones, who's about to be in a contract year? Could you get something back for him instead of just a future compensatory selection if you let him walk. You open up a lot of doors for opportunity, and you reset your clock at left tackle. So you're not having to pay a left tackle for 5 more years at this point, maybe 6 with a franchise tag. I would be excited about that possibility. I know that people have said it's a flat draft, it's not a good draft. I'm going to push back against that. I think this is a starter draft, and I do think there are blue chip caliber players who are going to find their way to picks 10, 11, 12, just because we might see teams reach for quarterbacks or we might see teams reach for pass rushers. That's going to push some good players down.
Do you like Colston Loveland more than you like Tyler Warren?
I do. I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete. And I know folks in Chicago watch a lot of Big Ten football. What you saw last year was Tyler Warren be schemed a ton of opportunities, which is awesome. They were smart. Penn State did a really good job because they didn't have any wide receivers. So it's like, hey, let's scheme our best offensive player a ton of touches. And it led to huge production. I worry a little bit about Tyler Warren being able to find those openings and find that production in the NFL on his own. With Colston Loveland, I have none of those concerns because he is a better route runner and he is a better athlete. At Michigan, he played in the slot. He played in line. He's a very good run blocker from both of those positions. So I like both guys. I'm not going to disparage Tyler Warren. He's a great player. I would just prefer Colston Loveland. I think he's an easier evaluation as you project those skills to the NFL.
Matt, I'd love to know from your experience of being inside of the draft complex on why this happens every single year. We look at the draft and we look at what happened in college football and you go, okay, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. And then by the time we get to 2 weeks or 3 weeks away from the draft, it's like, well, maybe Jalen Milroe or Tyler Shough. Like, maybe those guys, Jackson Dart kind of magically appears in mocks. Why does this always happen during the offseason instead of, like, right at the end of it?
So you're out car shopping, and you think you know what car you want, and then you're driving, and you see all these other cars, and you're like, wait, maybe I want a Jeep, or maybe I want a truck instead, or maybe I want a sports car. NFL teams are doing the same thing with these quarterbacks right now. When you don't love the option, other options are going to catch your eye. And that is what has happened since February. Teams did not fall in love with Shedeur Sanders at the East-West Shrine Game. They did not fall in love with him at the NFL Combine. And guess what happened at the Senior Bowl? Oh, Jackson Dart. And then here comes Tyler Shough. And then at the Combine, it was, well, here comes Jalen Milroe. And maybe here comes Will Howard. And let's not forget about Quinn Ewers. So I think what has happened, guys, is that those teams don't love the option. So they're saying, let's be really thorough and look behind every door and make sure there's not something over here that we like a little bit better than the option that we were presented as, you know, this great, you know, he was supposed to be the number 2 overall pick when we were at the Combine. That was 2 months ago. And you're right. Now, you know, there's definitely a conversation of will he go 9? Will he go 21? Will he go 26? I mean, it is a massive range for where he could be selected.
Is that different than most years? It feels like every year there's some quarterback that gets talked up into the top 5. I guess we're not seeing that, but we're seeing a couple talked up maybe into the top 15 or top 20.
I mean, it's every year, you know, it's Malik Willis, it's Matt Corral, it's, you know, it does feel like Desmond Ridder every year. Last year didn't happen because 6 went in the top 12. So there wasn't that opportunity. I think Bo Nix was the guy that got talked up, but he actually went. So this is a little bit different. I do still think he'll be a first round pick. And I think he deserves to be a first round pick. I really do. I mean, his toughness, his accuracy, his field vision, he has tools separate from his name that I think are first round caliber. And I think we'll ultimately see that play out. But the idea that he was a shoe-in to go 2 or 3, I think that was rooted more in expectation than in reality.
Matt, which coaches by position have you found to be the most honest about their players?
Oh my gosh, like college coaches?
Yeah. Is it the QB
offensive line coaches?
Offensive line coaches?
Offensive line. Yeah, because they're not there for anybody's business. They're very honest. I mean, strength and conditioning coaches are who you want to talk to first because they're with the players the most. They're going to be more honest. They're not really worried about like recruiting and things like that. So I think strength and conditioning is your front line of defense. And then I love offensive line coaches. I think DB coaches are pretty good as well on the defensive side. Like if you can get a good defensive backs coach, especially somebody that's been there a while, they'll be pretty upfront with you. But you know, that part of the game is changing because you got the transfer portal that's open 12 months out of the year, it feels like. And if you upset a player, they're going to hit the portal. So it really has been a changed dynamic to where now coaches have to worry about not upsetting a guy. So after a player leaves college is when you start to get the good stuff, because they're no longer trying to recruit to basically keep them in-house.
Matt Miller of ESPN, NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, is the best partner that the Guwagi mission has ever had. I mean, he's pushed it forward. Got a mention last year on the draft. So we need to ask you, who has the best go up and get it skill set among the tight ends or the wide receivers? Like, who is your best Guwagi guy to offer to our listeners right now?
Well, I think Travis Hunter is the poster boy for Guwagi to go up and get it, to be 6 foot, 188 pounds, and he plays every football like he owns the damn thing. I mean, he goes up and there is true ownership of the ball. Tet McMillan would be a solid option as well, 6'4", 220 pounds. I think he would be a runner-up, but it has to be Travis Hunter. No one has ball skills in this draft like he does.
Well, you know, Matt understands that Guwagi is an assortment of specific skills that coalesce to one powerful scouting attribute. That said, I can't help but notice that the Guwagi hat has not been visible in the background.
Why don't you leave this man alone?
It's right there.
I'm just saying it's...
See?
Oh, it is there. Look at that. It's up top. If you're watching on Twitch, beautiful. It's gorgeous.
I'm going to move down. As soon as we're off, I'm moving it down.
But, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in your background. The Stephen King collection.
Thank you.
Stephen King collection.
The stand.
It's everything. It's like three shelves of
excellence. I'm not going to put the books back there that I've never read like everyone else does. You know, like, I don't need the... It's like there's a sports writer collection on Amazon you can buy, and it sends you all these really impressive books. Like, no, this is stuff I've actually read. The books have been opened.
The history of great sports writing is always there. It's always
blood,
there.
Blood, sweat, and chalk.
I don't have that.
But I've actually read that one.
Yeah, that's true.
I've read it multiple times. It's still one of the best books.
I'm just giving you crap about the hat. But it's a beautiful thing that you're on board. And it matters because, I mean, is there a wide receiver that you like for the Bears somewhere in the middle rounds? Because they could use one. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of middle rounds. So you mean like you want to go round four?
Yeah.
Round four wide receiver.
How about number
Jalen Lane from Virginia Tech?
Yes.
I would really like.
Okay.
Like him a lot. I still go to like Pat Bryant from Illinois. I would like him in round five. I would be okay with Ricky White from UNLV in round five or round six. The weird thing about this receiver class, I think it drops off after round three. Like there's a decent drop off and we get to the guys where it's like Tez Johnson, who's the size of my fifth grader. Or we get to Xavier Restrepo, who ran a 4.8 40. You know, there's a pretty good drop-off this year. It's not the super deep wide receiver class like we're used to.
Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you. Good luck next week.
Appreciate you guys. I'm moving the hat right now.
Okay? Oh, you're unbelievable. I'm telling you, it's the best partner we ever had. It's number one right there. I've tried.
Yeah. He's like, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta get away from these jamokes.
I'm not gonna let anyone see me move that calf.
Yeah, I
mean, you guys heard of Guwagi? Go up and get it, guy.
I could hear him right there. Speaks all right, but that other guy, man, he's a problem.
Is that the highlight of your radio career when we were driving home from Detroit and that clip surfaced of him on day three coverage?
No, it's not. It's not, but it's certainly up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad I asked.
It's certainly up there. You know, I'd say
no.
It's a good question. What's a highlight? If you had to pick a highlight of your radio career, that's a big question right there.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't that, Speaks. That's one thing's for sure, that
positive.
It wasn't Guwagi.
I'd have to say,
way to shut that down so quickly.
Being able to stand behind Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer as they called the final out of the 2016 World Series. Like being able to be in the back of that booth in Cleveland.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
It's pretty good.
I have to say that one.
The No Butt Show.
You gotta know. you got a number one? You got a no doubter number one?
100%.
You do?
The final Friday Bears report before the Bears Super Bowl with Dan, Terry, Goff, Abatacola, and Zach. That is my number one. I don't know if I'll ever have a better 30 minutes on the radio than that.
Damn. Just felt like you covered everything. Just,
no. That's not why.
Just more fun.
You know how like you're always trying to like get me to like let go? That was the moment where I was like, this is going off the rails and I am not going to fight it. I'm just going to go with it. We could not have had more fun as a radio show, and everyone played their role to perfection.
That's really cool.
In that moment.
It is
the most special time that I've ever had on the radio.
That's psychologically interesting too, because as you say, like, you know, people trying to get you to loosen up or let it go off the rails or whatever. And your immediate answer is a moment where you were able to do that.
It's a big trust factor. Like, it's a culmination of Dan and Terry, like, trusting me with the Bears report overall.
Uh-huh.
It's Zach is one of my most like co-conspirators in this industry. Jason and Maddie, like, those two guys were just on it. Like, they were on it. Like, the drops that Jay was throwing in there, it was amazing. And there was just a lot of joy. So for me, it was easy. I had just seen Prince. Like, there's a lot going on in that moment. And I thought it was really special radio.
That's excellent.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's try to build that trust, guys. Let's try to get there. All right.
See how he took that?
No,
and
no.
Like,
no.
He didn't just live with it.
No,
like, he
I
had
did.
To bring it forward to this.
The Uber driver likes him too. All right. He also likes anything Speaks does.
I'm saying I want you to be that relaxed. I want us to have moments like that.
Impossible.
I think it's possible.
No, not at this point. I'm too far gone, Speaks. You can't save me.
There's only one thing that can save you. That's the dungeon.
Well,
you know,
we'll see.
It could unlock some stuff.
We'll see if that could save me.
All right.
We'll see.
A lot of sex down there, I heard.
In the dungeon? Not necessarily. No. Not necessarily, Shane. It's
not
a common
really.
Misconception.
Huh.
It is.
Yeah. It's too bad.
Maybe not. It depends on what your kink is. And we don't kink shame on this show.
Anybody remember Igor's Dungeon? Remember that store? Igor's Dungeon, I think, was on Clark.
Oh, no,
Belmont.
Belmont,
yeah.
Belmont, right by the Belmont Red Line.
Yeah, Belmont right by Clark. Igor's Dungeon. That's where you went to get some stuff that you shouldn't get.
What kind of stuff, Sweets?
I don't know. You know.
Sex toys?
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But a bunch of other stuff, too. You know?
BDSM stuff.
Yeah, but some other stuff, too. Like, if you need to...
Headphone monitor, Sony headphone monitors. Go in there.
Not those.
Was that like an undercover drug place? Like, could you get...
No, you know, like, if you needed to, you know, use some of those canisters to make whipped cream, you know?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like that stuff.
God.
You can get that.
Your
there.
Generation, man.
Wait, I'm confused. Canisters to make whipped cream?
Well, yeah, you put the little...
Yeah, you huff it.
The little whip hits in there.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically.
I remember
what I've heard.
That was one of those things where when we moved from the city to the suburbs...
Uh-huh.
And going to HF and huffing was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is that? And then they used to call this guy that used to do it.
Uh-huh.
They used to call him Sweet Breath.
Oh, boy.
Because he would take, I think it was Lysol and spray it into a bag.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe
and then huff that.
Krylon spray paint. I saw people doing that at a college party one time. Their teeth were blue and they were laughing.
And
it was horrifying.
I just remember being like, I am in a completely different world now than what I was a couple months ago.
I'm just talking about the whipped cream stuff. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say, wadanana, 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 wadanana. It's basically what it sounded like in your head.
Huh. Hmm. They used to come into the Best Buy that I worked at and buy those air canisters that you would clean the keyboards off with.
Oh, yeah.
And huff those. They'd buy them like 12 at a time. Be like... A lot of keyboards?
Cleaning a lot of keyboards, are you?
Yeah, and I remember.
Yeah, in my mind.
I remember a roommate saying, yeah, I'm a cake chef, and I'm going to need as many of these as you have. I'm doing a lot of decorating this weekend.
You should have seen, like, the look on 14-year-old Lawrence's face. So, why do you guys call him Sweet Breath? Yeah. Oh, because you know what? It wasn't Lysol, Shane. You know what it was? It was Glade. It was Glade in the brown paper bag, and that's what that dude was huffing. I was like, that's a thing that you guys do?
Don't do it, kids.
I've never heard of that.
Don't do it. For God's sakes, kids, stay away from this stuff. Don't listen to Lawrence like this.
I hope Sweet Breath is still around.
Love you, Sweet Breath.
Shout out to you, Sweet Breath. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Cubs. Are they in the market to make a trade? We'll find out next on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
That's not a promo. I don't know what is.
Bouncing ball to short. This could do it. Bogarts to first. And the Padres have beaten the Cubs by a score of 4-2. It was a struggle today. The Padres beat the Cubs.
Yeah, the small things, they were important inside of yesterday's game. It was annoying. It's been annoying the last two games to watch the Cubs kick the ball around. Don't like it.
Oh, yeah, man. The Machado home run that came after two dropped pop-ups in foul territory, essentially a couple nights ago, and they still managed to win that game. And then yesterday, I mean, there was a lot of bad bullpenning that went on in yesterday's game. And really, Luke Little was the main issue in that thing.
Those are going to happen. Like, it's weird. Like, I'm not as mad about that, because you're still trying to figure out kind of where things stand,
dude,
with your bullpen.
I'm so glad you said that. That's the thing about this bullpen. I love that there's roster churn going on with it right now. I love that Luke Little's here and Palencia's here. I love that they sent Nate Pearson down. See if you can figure out something down there. You got a chance. Palencia's got stuff that is every bit as good as Nate Pearson. And if he can throw strikes up here, then that'll be something. Luke Little has better stuff and can be more effective than Caleb Thielbar if he can find the damn plate. So you're giving it a shot and you're trying to figure out all these roles. It's nothing to freak out about.
And I wouldn't consider myself concerned about this particular issue, but I'm on alert. Kyle Tucker in right field. I've seen some stuff that makes me go, huh, he's a much better athlete than he is showing fielding the ball.
Certainly not comfortable with the wall at Wrigley, but
which
also
takes a while.
Sure. But also not comfortable with walls in general a couple of times wherever he has been.
Yep.
It does take a little while sometimes. I haven't watched him enough in Houston as an outfielder to cast aspersions just yet. But it's worth considering. There was a moment last week, by the way, that he made a horrible play in right field – like within 30 minutes of Mike Trout making a horrible play in right field for the Angels. So sometimes things can happen.
I get it. And they're playing weird times during the day that some of the shadows can mess with you.
Some Mick Cronin-ish right
out there. Well, you know, you gotta, if you're happy, if you're just coming to the West Coast, like yeah. nothing else, like it's fine.
Houston's right field, short wall, short porch in general, right? He doesn't have a lot of ground to cover out there when he was an Astro, correct?
That's true. It's not Arizona.
No, and left field is the much more challenging corner in Houston. So that's why they're putting Altuve there, of course.
You talk about the struggle bus. He is on it and he is driving it out there in left field. And it's sad. Like, no one wants to feel bad for the Astros. Like, I completely get that because they're a bunch of cheaters.
But my goodness. I just smiled, though, because it's kind of adorable to think about him driving a bus. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's like, just a little dude just driving a bus.
Little pedal extenders on there for him.
You can see him, like bouncing up and down yeah. as the bus is
super psyched.
Going down the street.
And kids would be asking him to, like, blow the horn and do the thing as they're driving by, and he's happy to do it, just smiling. He probably can just activate the horn with that buzzer that he's got right there on his shoulder.
That's how they make the stops. That's how he knows.
He gets buzzed.
He gets buzzed on the corner. That's just to cover a bad tattoo, Tanny. Don't worry about that.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Something else to not put on your concern list, but something to keep watch of, and I hate to say this.
Uh-oh.
Rising sea levels?
Yes. The Cardinals are playing better baseball.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Okay.
Really?
They're a 9-9 team who their run differential is plus 10.
I would worry about the Brewers. I am worried about the Brewers.
As you should be. I'm just saying that it doesn't rise to the level of concern.
Yeah.
It rises to the level of, what are they doing down there? Just something to just go, maybe I'll check in once every couple of days and see what's going on in St. Louis.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I want to hear this, and let's talk about the trade possibilities for the Cubs at both starting pitcher and maybe another spot. Our Bruce Levine was on with the morning show, and this has made a little news in baseball circles today, these comments.
You lose one of your top pitchers. They're out there looking at probably four or five of what they consider to be the best pitchers available. We talked about it the other day as well. It's not going to be any surprise if they make a move for it. It just depends how much of their minor league system are they willing to trade to win this year. They're all in. You know, I think, you know, they're playing a game of Texas Hold'em, and the Cubs are all in this year. So I expect Hoyer to do everything he can to bring in some top pitching and, you know, another, maybe even a third baseman along the way. Who knows? By the time August rolls around, we'll see how that position shakes out with the three or four guys vying for time right now.
Very interesting that he puts third base out there as a possible option, because we can talk about both of them, but I'm very discouraged about the third base situation. As you know, here in what is a win now season, when you are supposedly all in, it's a moment where your development plan did not match up with the roster build because Shaw has to go down. And I get Shaw on a basic human level, a player level, having to be sent down. So many players have been sent down and will get better. But this team needs a functional third baseman right now. I like John Birdie a lot. But John Birdie's supposed to be your backup at like three different positions and be a great pinch runner, a decent pinch hitter, a guy you could finish with defensively at a number of spots. But right now, John Birdie's got to play for you because Gage Workman's a nice story, but guess what? His strikeout rate in 1,700 bats in the minor leagues. I want you to guess how much Gage Workman's strikeout rate was in the minor leagues.
In the minor leagues,
1,700 minor league at bats. None of them above Double A. By the way, none of them above Double A.
I'm gonna say 17%.
35%.
That's a lot.
In 1,700 minor league at bats, none of them above Double A. So, right, a lot of power there. But that is a big time swing and miss. And then Vidal Brujan, who's now here and back from the Marlins. I'm not convinced he's a big leaguer. You know, there's a skill set there, but like. To me, John Birdie's got to be your starting third baseman for the most part, and he's supposed to be a bulk guy.
Let's go around the room. How comfortable are we if Justin Turner ends up playing some third base for the Cubs?
I'm a little concerned about his defensive utility in the on the, under the long haul. I think those days are done.
Do you think is there a can he play there a day a week? Does it make sense to even think about doing that?
He can do 2 or 3 days a week. He can. Space it out every other day for sure.
They finished with him yesterday.
Yeah.
They let him finish out there in what was still a one-run game at the time.
So then you can't say that they don't trust his defense. You know?
Yeah.
As of right now, he is your best option to play third base. Unless you want to bring Nick Madrigal back.
No one wants to do that.
Okay, sounds good.
You think Turner's a better option than John Birdie?
Yes.
John Birdie's a great base runner, decent little contact hitter, much more trustworthy defensively now.
I think less is more for a guy like that. I think John Birdie's a pinch hitter and a spot starter and a platoon guy.
It's funny because I kind of feel the same way about Turner. This Texter is right where I'm at. A little too much of him.
Yeah, Turner's supposed to be a gravy piece. Turner is supposed to be your backup at first and your right-handed bat for crucial situations.
And get you out of a game at third. Like you can, that's
all he is.
That's what he's supposed to be. Hey, this guy got hurt, or we pinch hit for this guy. Justin, can you go out there and give us three innings?
In fact, like the Bush and Turner equivalency in terms of lefty righty and time split at first base, if anything, so far, Michael Bush is the one who's earning some more trust. In that space, Michael Bush had a really strong road trip, at least the first four games of it.
Okay, you're the host of Hit and Run. What should the priority be for the Cubs right now? Should it be to trade for someone to play third, or should it be for them to trade for a starting pitcher?
I think more so third base than starting pitcher, because it's going to take less to make that happen, and those guys might be available. Some of those third base options and position players might be available. I think all the starting pitchers of consequence, they're not going to get moved yet. So I don't believe they're going to get moved yet. And I believe that you, as Craig Counsell told you and Ryan McGuffey the other day, you have built up some depth, and it's time to use that. Whether it's Colin Ray or Jordan Wicks or Javier Assad, there are three names right there that you have legit organizational depth to use in the rotation. Use them. Javier Assad started 29 games last year and had an ERA of what, 3.7? I mean, that is a legit rotation guy who, as soon as he's healthy, he had the one rehab start so far. As soon as he's healthy, maybe he's the one that slots in. So maybe they'll go Ray again and then go right to Assad instead of giving Wicks a shot. We'll see.
If you were thinking about something magical happening and the Rockies paying most of Chris Bryant's contract and bringing him back, you should know this, that Chris Bryant has been put on the 10-day injured list with a degenerative disc disease.
Oh, boy. Degenerative disc in the back?
With lumbar degenerative disc disease. A lower back injury associated with the wear and tear of the spine.
Oh, goodness.
It's another word for I don't want to play anymore.
I don't think
I don't think it's he doesn't want to play. I think it's he can't play.
There's been the mix of his decaying love affair with the game along with his decaying body. And we have seen that. That's scary.
There's former Cubs infielders out there. Find him, for God's sakes. Tommy Listello, what's he doing?
Hey,
Luis Valbuena?
Speaking of former Cubs and former White Sox to boot, isn't it? You remember those times we would have conversations about, you know, it's always been a great town for first base. Mark Grace and Frank Thomas. And then we also
had the Sox had a pretty good run for a good while.
Hey, but both towns.
But it's over.
We had Mark Grace and Frank Thomas.
Brian LaHare.
We used to talk about Derek Lee and Paul Konerko.
And Micah Hoffpower.
And then we talked about Anthony Rizzo and Jose Abreu in this way.
Mostly Abreu.
No, Rizzo had some good years.
Okay.
Both Rizzo and Abreu are free agents. They're street free agents who would like to play and no one wants them.
That sounds edgy. I'm a street free agent, dog.
Cuban gang, pick me up. I got no affiliation.
I'm going to sell you this brown paper bag and some Glade.
But we put them up there, man. We put Rizzo and Abreu in that conversation. Oh, yeah. Another first base tandem in town. It's always been a great town for that. Now they're both available street free agents, huffing God knows what.
Well, Rizzo's got a back, just like Bryant. His back's not going to hold up.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu's out there eating passports. They both have their issues.
God, that's sad. That took me to a dark place right there.
Yes, it did.
You should see the locker room vending machine with nothing but passports in it.
Turkey's passport is grape.
$10,000 into the vending machine.
I'm going to take you to a happier place.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Where is it?
It's about the quarterback.
Oh, man. It's the best moment of the game, don't you think?
I agree. We'll talk about that next here on The Score.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I could never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on The Score.
Chuck and Bill, back to you courtside.
And there's Caleb Williams, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, being introduced to the crowd.
Caleb Williams was out there chilling.
Nice sweater.
Yeah, that sweater costs more than we make. I peeped that and I was like, oh, I can't afford that.
That's a good look. Who's he next to? Do we know?
I don't know. I couldn't recognize the person that he was with.
Me neither, but athletic shout out, type.
Shout out to him for sitting courtside. And because a lot, here's the difference, I think, between like LA and New York and Bulls games. A lot of times, celebrities that go to Bulls game will sit in the box. And you have like Megan Thee Stallion because, you know. But I like that he sat courtside in yesterday's game. He was right there. You look, there's KC over his left shoulder. Then there's Cassidy over his right shoulder.
Uh-huh.
It was cool to see him because he continues to want to be a part of the Chicago athletic thing.
Hey, man, I love the sport crossover. I adore it when athletes, like, it was fun to see DJ Moore and Cole Kmet at the Cubs game a few weeks back.
Absolutely.
Fun to see Derrick Rose throwing out the first pitch on the south side.
And taking it very seriously.
Absolutely. So I love seeing Caleb with the good seats over there watching the Bulls. Too bad he had to watch the Bulls play as poorly as they did.
Yeah, but then he gave the fans a moment. Last night, throwing the ball into the stands. And again, I see that's a football worth fighting over.
If anybody did not see it, Caleb sitting courtside, cameras on him, and a football gets tossed into his lap. He's got, was it a Sharpie?
Yes.
I think it was a Sharpie.
Someone tossed him a Sharpie. He signed it, stood up, and then yoked it. Like, he was like, hey, upper deck.
Third deck? I think 300?
Like sweet level. I think it was middle between the 100 and the 3.
Level? Yeah. I think that's where he got it.
So second suite level or the first?
First suite level.
First suite level. Yeah. But still, from courtside, That's an impressive
without
toss.
Warming up. Absolutely, it's an impressive toss.
I need to check the deep ball quarterback ratings that Warren Sharp had at Sharp Football. Like, does that improve Caleb's deep ball rating? Because it was not very good this past year.
There was no pass rush. Here's what Casey Johnson said about Caleb being at the game.
You got asked to take selfies with fans so many times, and I actually debated whether or not to tweet this, but I ended up doing it, and it got a lot of engagement, which I'm happy about, because you can say this is a small thing, but I watched 50, 60 kids go up to that dude, and he didn't turn one kid down for selfie.
Oh,
and often
nice.
He would take the phone himself and then flip, you know, the reverse camera thing around and take the picture himself and then hand the camera back to the kid. Like, he was an expert at it. And so, you know, those are little things, but, you know, I was impressed by that. And
yeah.
So I don't like bothering people in those situations. You know, when I'm not working, he's not working. I did have one interaction with him because Kobe White came chasing a loose ball one time and absolutely blew up the row to the point where the chairs smashed into our media table, and Cassidy Hubbard from ESPN and myself both lost our monitors. The table came into us. It was actually a pretty severe collision, and the first time it had happened all year. And Caleb and his buddy were away from the seats getting something to eat.
So oh, my gosh.
Dude, you almost got taken out. And then Caleb smiled, and I said, oh, wait, you probably could have handled it, but your buddy might have been toast.
Oh, Casey, that's great. Could you imagine Caleb Williams gets hurt at the Bulls game?
Well, he's been sacked enough.
I think right. Kobe White would have been hurt, actually, because Caleb looks like a pretty big dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Wow, that's tremendous.
Don't want him to get sacked.
No.
At a Bulls game.
68 times during the NFL season was enough.
While you were gone, Speaks, we talked with Brian O'Keefe, who did the feature piece in Esquire. This is what he said about the cool factor of the Bears quarterback.
To me, Caleb was interesting for a few different reasons. I mean, first of all, he's kind of a different kind of character from an NFL quarterback. Very confident, you know, the confidence to launch an investment firm before he's even played his first snap in the NFL. The confidence to paint his nails and show himself, show his real personality. So all that came together. And I think there is a tension, you know, especially for Bears fans to see what's really going to happen with him on the field and with the team. And I think all that together, you know, just really makes him a really compelling character. A lot of Bears fans would say they mostly care what he does on the field. But, you know, looking at him as a character, he was living in Copenhagen for part of the offseason because his girlfriend lives in Copenhagen. But also, you know, he's a guy who's very interested in European culture, in fashion, in food, in different perspectives around the world. He's not somebody who's just, he does live and breathe football and has been since he was a kid. But that's not all he lives and breathes. You know, he's also really interested in all kinds of subjects in business. And I think, you know, if he can pull that off, if he can be successful as an investor and a business person off the field, while at the same time leading the franchise and being a top NFL quarterback, that will be an incredible story.
Let's talk about Copenhagen sometime when we have more time.
You've been?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
I've never been.
I was there for a weekend one time, and it was unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Should put it on the list?
Let's do it. Oh, absolutely, dude. 100%. Fascinating city.
I think Russ just got back from there. I think he spent a big amount of his time on his European vacation in Copenhagen.
Yeah, man. The people I was with were
apparently only the cool people go there.
People I was with were hanging out all night, and then I went to bed, and they're like, "All right, we're going to go dancing, and then go
that.
And then go have breakfast."
You know who loves to dance and then get breakfast?
Dave Wanstead.
You damn right, and he's going to do it next here on The Score.